10-8, DBF, Mo.
Good morning, Dakota. I got you over here, W8RCY. I don't know what's happening with the RF side of the thing, but yeah, it's like I'm watching the hub and it's just like cutting out completely. And it seems to have come back on, but I don't know what's going on. Just, you know, something funky in the air for sure. And I know one thing's for sure, my allergies are killing me and my eyes are as bloodshot as they've ever been. WFUY, I'll let you go. Let you have a good day. Catch up with you later. Sorry I heard you over here.
Yeah, I figured I would jump over here because it's, from my understanding, it's more stable and the infrastructure is a little different. But I noticed the same thing. I was like, what's going on? Why are they dropping every other transmission? But yeah, I've been having a lot of connectivity issues with everything since last night, including T-Mobile, Spectrum, you name it. Anything that's wireless is freaking out. So not sure what's going on. NADBF.
Copy that. We'll catch up with you later. Again, have a great day. I got to do something about my allergies. W8RCY. We're going back to the other side.
All right, Donald. Thank you for your time. Good luck. NADBF.
KE8WOJ.
Morning, Rick.
How you doing, young man? It seems like our system's kind of hiccuping this morning. Hey, caught you over here on Statewide 1.
Yeah, I was over on the FBI, and it was fine for most of my drive, and then it just started dropping out. I was, you know, obviously we're all on different repeaters, and we just couldn't hear each other anymore. I don't know what's happening, so I came over here, and this seems to be stable.
Right. Yeah, that was weird. I don't know if it was. Yeah, I noticed the same. So I jumped over to some of the linked ones, Romeo and Mount Clemens and Richmond, and nothing was happening there either. But I monitor Statewide 1 and the FBI link system. So, Dakota, I'm going to send you a couple of spreadsheets today. kind of a rundown on almost every hunting rifle there is. With stats of the shooting accuracy with factory ammo, and it's quite interesting.
Send it on over. I love that kind of stuff. I think there was another station in there, too. Go ahead.
KE8RUH, are you guys getting me? I don't know. I'm inside the building here at work.
Oh, yeah. You're rock solid. Go ahead. Pick it up.
Make a comment on how weird that was a little bit ago on FBI. I don't know what's going on over there. It seemed like they were unlinking and whatever.
W8RCY, I'm watching the hub and the thing is like a ping pong ball. One minute it's lit up like a Christmas tree and the next minute it just drops and everything goes blank and resets. Some even go back to like never even keying up. But I'm watching the DMR hub as well and it's running nice and smooth, that's for sure. All right, I got you talking about my allergies. I'll catch everybody later. I've been jumping in and out, but these conversations are too good. I'm out. W8RCY. Everybody have a great day.
Sounds like the hub needs to be rebooted. Which hub are we talking about? Either FBI or Central Michigan.
All right, I didn't notice any problems. I can reboot. I can at least reboot the hub.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. I just was listening here, just got into the shop, doing some work here, some related work, not my work. So I got about 20 minutes here. I can knock out some programming that's AMI-related before my day starts. So I'm going to get back to it, but I'll reboot that hub.
Yeah, I just kept dropping. I don't know, no audio prompts or anything, but Donald said he was watching the dashboard. It just kept going up and down. Anthony, are you still there?
And what's going on?
You still have any of those VHF machines we were talking about?
XPRs that we were talking about?
Not the XPRs, the APXs.
At the moment, but as soon as I get some more in, they've been semi-regular. Are you looking for one?
Depending on what it is, if it's VHF, APX, yeah. I would, as long as it's clean, I wouldn't mind.
Once I get my UHF one up and running, if you want to borrow the VHF one to make sure that it works in your area, I'd definitely loan it to you.
Yeah, that would be ideal. I can try before I buy because the census is probably not going to be great because of how far out I am, which I don't disagree with at all.
I would be shocked if you have coverage on P25, but it would certainly round out your collection if I could get you one at some point.
I don't know, man. I see how good this DMR stuff works, and if that's VHF, in theory, it should work even better. And, Rick, I didn't mean to cut you out there. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I was just getting ready to send you those two files. They're on my desktop. I got to get them on the phone, and Windows 11 seems to have this new feature that I don't know if it connects Bluetooth to the phone or whatever, but I was just peeking at that. Hey, where'd this come from? So I was lost here. I could hear other guys in the background, but I was like scratching my head going, Windows did something good for a change. G-A-W-O-J.
They have that phone mirroring thing, and I tried it with iPhone. It's not fantastic. Might be better with probably better with Android. But feel free to just shoot it over in an email, nhdbf.radio@gmail.com.
Code, I don't know if you got that last one. Yeah, I will. I'll get you this one as a loaner, and then we'll see what we can do after that.
That works for me. I appreciate it. Like I said, I kind of want to just experiment with it, but I've heard programming those is a whole other world, and I want to get into that and give that a shot. Rick, I don't know if you caught me, but I said just send it over an email, nhdbf.radio@gmail.com.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you for that last part again. All right, should be there in just a little bit.
P-E-B-S-I.
There he is. I don't know what was going on over there, so we kind of migrated over here.
Yeah, I've been here for a little bit. I dropped out because I was using All-Star. Something happened with the note. I don't know exactly what, but I only missed a little bit. Heard that guy from London, Ontario and all that, but it all got kind of scattered, so... Anyway, here we are. I didn't know if we, I know Anthony mentioned something about 59 and Shaner tomorrow for lunch. I think that's what he was talking about. Did we come up with anything yet, or is that going to be planned out tomorrow?
Hey, just a real quick note, and I got to jump out of here. It looks like for some reason the node rebooted about 10 minutes ago. Does that coincide with when the problems were? Go ahead, carry on, guys. I'll be listening. W8FU. Yeah, that's about on par. Almost, yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Greg, do you agree?
My node disconnected and reconnected about 7:01 a.m.
I agree with Greg. It was closer to 7 a.m., maybe a few minutes before.
I'll have to check mine, too. But I think the easiest thing, Greg, is I'll start a group text with all of us. I'll probably throw Wally in there, too, and we'll coordinate that way.
All right, very good. Sounds good to me. All right, I'm going to be getting some other stuff done around here. I'll be monitoring, though. KE8BSI.
Hey, Dakota, I am going.
All right, gentlemen, I'll text you in a bit here. I'm making my final. I'm about 2 minutes out. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, have a good safe one there, and I sent those two, so that'll you get any time, that'll give you something to keep you busy there. It's been keeping me busy. Have a good one, KEAWOJ.
Yeah, if I get some time today at work, I'll try to peruse through them. If not, I'll do it later this evening. But I'm sure I'll catch you later. NAPBF.
Sean, or anybody else out there that wants this, I found this two Excel spreadsheets from a YouTube channel that's testing just about every the accuracy of just about every hunting rifle there is. It's kind of interesting. If you want, just shoot me your email, and I'll send it to you.
Rick, I wouldn't mind a copy of it to see what it's about. I like to watch some of the shooting stuff on YouTube as well myself. This is N8ZC. If you wouldn't mind, I would be interested.
Okay. You got to get me your email there, and I'll send it to you. I don't know if you like sending it on the air or not. Actually, you can send me an email if you want to. I don't care. Just KEAWOJ@gmail.
Oh, it doesn't bother me, my email. My phone number would be a whole different story. But Yeah, no, the name here is Terry, and I think it was you guys I was talking with the other day about guns and stuff, and I hear you guys talking about it from time to time, and, well, that's one of my passions, so. But yeah, no, my email is n8zc@me.com, mikealpha.com, or excuse me, Mike Echo, duh.
Okay, that's nahzc@me.com, right?
Yes, that is correct. Thank you. I think maybe that second cup of coffee is definitely in order today. Spent the day outside in fresh air and sunshine, got my batteries charged up while I worked on the lawnmower and got my yard all mowed and all that stuff, and actually slept last night. It's over 7 hours of sleep straight through. Even the dog didn't wake me up. I was surprised by that, but now I think I got to go charge up with some caffeine. Oh, anyway, so forget my phonetic alphabet. How bad is that? I've only known it since I was in the Army. But anyway, enough of that. No, I appreciate you sharing that with me, because I find that stuff fascinating, let alone when you get into any of the older cartridges, which is my favorite. I like the history of firearms to begin with. That and air rifles. Believe it or not, air rifles has quite the fascinating history as well. So between the two of them, those are my general hobbies besides radio, or at least DMR. Oh, anyway, I'll quit yammering, and I'll say thank you. Just in case I didn't say it and you don't remember from before, my name's Kerry, and I'm actually coming through you via the Bancroft machine. I'm only a couple of miles as a crow flies from it, and so I sit here and listen to you guys on the analog side through the Duran machine. And also, so hopefully they'll get that problem fixed, or it did get fixed, but I was kind of curious too. We had some kind of big solar event there the other day, and I wonder if we're still feeling some of the remnants from it or something, but who knows. Anyway, I think I'm going to go make another cup of coffee, so I'll be listening. N8ZC, thanks again.
Okay, Kerry, you've been on just enough lately where I'm starting to recognize your voice. And, yeah, I'll shoot those over to you in just a minute. And if you want to check stuff out further, it came from a YouTube channel called Backfire. The guy's apparently got a million subscribers, so he's apparently making big money on YouTube there. It's quite interesting. But anyway, I'll send that to you. And you have yourself a great day, and we'll catch you later.
WAP. Good morning, Wally, NAWRO.
Good morning. En route to the school, taking the oldest grandchild to the school. So that's where I am. We're heading there. Supposed to be there at 7:35. I think I pulled that off.
Excellent. I see you're on Papa duty this morning. That's good. Good job.
I haven't messed it up yet, but we're only 18 hours into it.
You're a lucky man. Mine are too far away. I can't do that yet. So if and when I move to Dexter, and that's not anytime soon, so.
Yeah, I always thought I'd go back to the west side when I got my age, but these critters came along. So, I don't think that can ever happen now.
Yeah, it's hard to change after that. They anchor you, that's for sure.
We also have to mention his radio critters, too, that he's the family he's built over here.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have very many radio critters over there. So. And they're into D-Star. Ugh. Who is that, Don?
Yes, it's me. Good morning. I'll let you too, Kerry. I just, the critter thing got me going. and I have two daughters. One's my legitimately, the other one is unfortunately not my legitimately. And that's a whole other story for another day, but yeah, my oldest daughter is a doctor out in Las Vegas, and I don't get to see her much because she's constantly doing what she does, but thank God for cell phones and other ways of communicating. Okay, Dylan, I'll let you carry on. WERCY. Have a great day.
Well, good morning, Donald, and you have a good one as well. Hey, that's interesting. All three of our daughters are doctors in one way or the other. Go ahead, Wally.
Well, you have to start a club. There you go. I wonder if all three of them are smart alecks, too, because mine sure is. So, but I guess it probably comes with the nature of her specialty. Her daddy's kind of a smart aleck anyway, so she might have got that part from me. She got the smarts from her mother, a smart aleck from me. So tonight's Matt. I'm going to be in and out. He's got baseball practice tonight, and I am a designated baseball practice chauffeur for him. So tonight, in and out.
I'm going to copy that. It'll be HLY having the net tonight, and just try to do it at the top of the net, and that way you can see it in and out. Quick and easy.
Yeah, there you go. I like the visual idea, but it kind of had mixed reviews. So you got to go with what the majority wants. I would even send a win-link message.
You know, I'm working on that right now with John's email, and my grid square was wrong. I don't know how that happened, so I am following his directions, and I'm going to check both the laptop and the desktop, and you got to get my grid square right via the lat and longitude method, I guess. I don't know. I have to still check that out.
The one that I searched them a lot because I was bored one night and couldn't sleep. The one that I found that was the best was the one on QRZ, that one. You could touch an area and it would tell you where it was, and then it draw in the square box. And then you could touch another area to draw the square box, but it would keep the box there. So that was kind of nice.
NAWRO. Oh, yeah, Wally, that's, I don't know if you saw the graphic version of the map I made. That came from QRZ. And that just kind of did the chart version of what John made, and it translated it to graph. Granted, it's pretty small scale. You can't really see where the lines are, where the division is, but I know John's taking care of that. So, but at least it gives you at least a visual with the QRZ program. And then I just omitted all the water. We're not having a boat out there in Lake Sinclair.
I don't think I'm late. This is weird. We're not late, are we, Walker? Just a second, I got to drop off a package.
Copy that. Walker is not a critter, by the way.
K-E-A-M-W-N.
Good morning. I think it's Ben, right? This is Tim, Tango India Mike in Macomb. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar.
Yeah, it's Ben up in Bay City. I'm to work a little bit early, so just sitting here bored. And I heard Wally on there, too, so thought I'd just jump in for a minute and say hi while there was a break.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm on grandpa duty. Mom and Dad took a five-day vacation down in Texas, going to the Stockyards, Dallas, something else, some concert outside. Dig this. 30-somethings, George Strait and somebody else. Two old country singers are going to see. How does that work? Go ahead, Tim.
That sounds like a nice deal. I like that. Hey, listen, let you two moto guys talk for a second here. I'm going to drop off, but I'll be listening. NAWRO. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like some good names. Sounds like a good party. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, the kids are 4 and 7, and then they haven't had a time alone since 4 and 7. So we stepped up and we told him we'd take care of him. He's got baseball practice Saturday morning when we're going to do the weather class, so her sister's going to take the kids to the baseball practice on Saturday, and then there's a Saturday afternoon game. Going to go do that, and then we get him back. And kids fly in late Sunday night, so my guess is we'll probably have him to Monday because our flight aware system has become god-awful, as you know.
Ah, okay. Well, it's never a dull moment in life, is it?
No, and you really don't want one, because when that does happen, then you're officially old. So we're doing everything we can to combat it, you know. So, but other than that, we've been playing around a lot with those radios. Thank you. That audio thing did work for his radio. He did have that special firmware in there. He wanted that recording capability, but 2.0 won't let you do anything unless it recognizes the radio. He bought the entitlement, but he comes back with no registered products. So when you try to push the entitlement. So, and I'm sure that's because it's showing up as AS region instead of US region. So his radio is what it is unless we try to push it back. And I'm scared to do that because there's always a risk. Those radios will still talk via depot as long as you don't go over 224. But there's also a chance of wiping it and then having a real pretty looking brick.
Yeah, I've never tried to, I don't know how you could put it, like regionalize, but I would assume you could write a factory code plug back to it doing a restore, but do it with the North American firmware. But I would take a little research because I've never honestly had to do that with one. I ordered mine brand new, and I regionalized it here, so it's obviously a NA designator and not AS, but pretty sure all the part numbers we get, too, when we get the entitlements to the radios, they'll show, like, NA next to it, so, you know, basically that it can pair with a radio that has North America in it, so it's always got its challenges being in different places.
Yeah, well, you know, for the professional side of things, for your side, there'd be absolutely no reason to mess with it. You know, for us ham guys who love to tinker with things on the fly, you know, it's okay for us to do it. You know, I mean, it's just you know, it's just expected and everything else like that. But, you know, if they're being used for, you know, professional sides of things, you know, then it's a big no-no. So I understand both sides of the fence, you know. And then the other thing too is do you want it? Do you need it? You know, some people are all for it, and others just say, "Oh, just leave it alone." So you know, me personally, I'd rather have the FPP. I've used it a couple, three times. You know, we went up north, Higgins Lake, and the kids stayed at one cabin, we stayed at another cabin, and we used it for GMRS, and then I was able to just take mine. You know, they had TP, the GMRS handy-talkies, and I was able to just punch it right in and be able to talk with them back and forth. So, you know, a couple, three times, it's come in handy. So, to me, that's worth it, you know, but I don't know. I guess John has to decide, you know, is the audio recording worth it more than the FPP, you know, strike one, strike two, and then also do you want to risk bricking it, you know, because if you can't get that thing back into flagship mode, all done.
Yeah, I'd have to do a little research, but because that was originally a North American radio, right?
Yeah, it was. And he purchased it this way, so I'm sure he purchased it. The intention was good. It wasn't, you know, evil. It was good. It was being sold as a ham radio.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I use my APXs for the analog ham stuff, and the GMRS things, so I pretty much leave my XPR equipment, you know, for doing the VMR. And I don't, you know, the MI5, even the Simplex stuff and the standalone repeaters, you know, once it's programmed in there, you know, you don't really have to mess with it. But, like, you guys messing with GMRS or analog stuff, I suppose I can see how the STP could be a bit of a convenience. So, yeah, and it's really bland and watered down on the North American version anyway, because you can't change color code or, like, PL tones or any of that, is my understanding, which is why nobody with a North American version messes with it.
Yeah, but, you know, you had made a comment the other day about, you know, the audio on it is just fantastic. You know, I did turn on everything that you said to turn on, he had unturned on. So I refixed all that, flashed all that back. Now I just got to put some current frequencies in it for John and then give it back to him. So been playing around with the APX software lately, learning a lot about that. A lot of aha moments, you know, so that's been fun as well. We got APXs, you know, I got a couple of them, and been playing with that, and I've enjoyed the learning curve on that. Last night's project was contactless, and very different, very, very, very different. It was rather exciting once I had that aha moment.
Yeah, I really love the APX equipment. Like hands down, my favorite mode is P25. That's why most of the time you talk to me on P25, even though this radio is right under that radio in the car, and this one's always on too. But I do really enjoy P25.
Yeah, same here. The hiccup I have with today is I'm driving my personal vehicle. My personal vehicle has only got a DMR radio in it. My work car, I think I told you I purchased a Tate TM9900. That puppy has everything in it, but I don't have the car seats in the work car, and it's kind of frowned upon to put children in the work car. They don't care if your wife is in there. They do kind of care if you're hauling kids around. So, you know, it's a liability thing. I get it. So today I'm driving the work car or the personal car. So all I have with me, I have an APX, but I'm at the end of the rope for both the VHF and UHF P25 mode. And what else was I going to say? So all I have today with me is an XPR 5550, and that's mounted permanently. So that's why I'm able to hit everything. But I really want another one of those radios, but I really don't want to spend that kind of money again. I mean, I'm happy with the purchase. It's amazing. I talk a lot of 900 down here on it because the 900's connected to the P25 network. I enjoy that. But, you know, $3,000 for a freaking radio, and that's without trunking or any kind of a phasing.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of options out there to choose from. Even the Kenwood NX5000 series seem to be pretty cool too, you know, because it's like, if you wanted, you get like a Kenwood, like the VP8000, which is technically a Viking, I think, but Kenwood owns them. I think those will do, you know, NXDN, P25, GMR, so you can only run, you got to choose two of the three DMR modes. And of course, me, it'd probably be P25 and DMR. But, you know, definitely plenty of options of good all-in-one radios out there, I think. Kind of surprised Motorola hasn't tried chasing that.
Yeah, well, you know, Sean is looking for his Forever radio. And I know that that's one of them on the bucket list. I'm not sure if it's a handheld or a mobile, but I do know that that's one of them on his bucket list. That one, the Tate, but there was one other one. So, but, you know, he wants a radio that's to clean things up, I think is what he said. And he's been collecting assets and all sorts of things to try to get it so he could get, you know, selling off some of the stuff and building his slush fund up. But I'm not sure which one he's decided on yet. I'm going to see him sometime today. Maybe I'll have that conversation. Help you any closer to making a decision? So I do know that, that's going to be his purchase next, is his Forever Radio. So hopefully he gets one that does, you know, the three modes, you know, boom, 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 and then the two bands. Realistically, you just need the two bands. Maybe for him, the three bands. He's a little different world than the rest of us. But, you know, kind of like you are. But hopefully I want to see what he gets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for the all-banders like that, I think you pretty much got that tape. Like, I think the XL400 or whatever the heck the newest portable is, I think that'll do multiple digital modes as well. I'm going to probably jump off of here and get ready to head into the building. So on this one, this will be my last, so we'll say 7-3 on your final if we catch you this evening or something. This is KEAMWN.
WABB gun.
WARCY. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on today on the FBI network side, and now it sounds like we're having issues on this side as well, because you and the other gentleman just dropped right off the radar. Something's in the air, and I know it's affecting my allergies. My eyes are red and bloodshot. Good morning. Sean has my radio. He picked it up this morning. W-8-R-C-Y.
W-8-R-C-Delta. K-F-8-S. Pontiac.
Hey there.
How's it going? I just cleared Pontiac and heading back east.
Were your ears ringing? We were talking about you just a tad on one of our groups. The Riley's, for his company, is looking for some PLC radios. I told him you were invested in the PLC business. You knew a lot about them, so he might reach out to you.
Everything I know about them is I feel like one Chinese company makes them and then distributes them to different vendors. I don't know which ones are better and which ones are not so great. You know, the TID radio is great for, you know, what we like to do, just use them like toys. But I don't know if there's anything better out there. PocLink was getting popular for a little while, but then I guess a lot of people are getting on their network. So I don't know. Couldn't tell you what would be the best one to get.
Okay. Well, then I'll uncomment my suggestion. Tell him that you're not sure anymore. So I think he was going to be using them for his company as well. So, you know, he might end up going with some of the big boys.
Yeah, that's probably better. I think Motorola makes Pod radios. I don't know how expensive they are, but there's a lot of, like, the big guys are into it. And I would feel like they would have better, you know, better support for that stuff because of what they're charging.
Yeah, I think it's in the $30 per user or something like that. But then again, you're also getting the infrastructure and you're getting the team and you're getting all that other fun stuff. So, yeah, I understand all that. So, hey, Dave, I got to step out here. I have to go put a car seat in a car for my wife. So I will chat with you a little bit later. WB.
Alrighty, I remember they're easier to put in than take out, so. Talk to you later, JF8S. PC8MXG.
Good copy on you there, Cliff. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, Richmond.
What's going on, Jim? I gotta admit, this is impressive. I had a long drive over here over to the west side, and I honestly was not expecting to be able to reach the repeater in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, good signal. You're doing it about 103, 108, 103. That's pretty good.
It's a beautiful day out there. I got to get out and do some yard work, but for now, I'm in the shack.
It is definitely a beautiful day out here. It's one of the reasons I didn't mind taking this drive. And the paycheck for it was actually pretty good. Can't complain about that. But yeah, it's a gorgeous day out. It's a good day to drive. And get out there as soon as you can and enjoy it.
Yeah, I certainly plan to. I'm just doing the final touches on the Winlink grid square thing, or I should say GPS location, just programming it inside the base here. I did not realize that we could do this, so I will do that for John, and then I will do it to the laptop. But yeah, before too long, I'm just charging my headphones up so I can listen to music while I'm on the tractor. But in the interim, I'll get this knocked off.
Yeah, when I'm at home, I'm getting pieces together for the set, too. I got to make sure that I got everything in place for it. I hadn't realized we were going to be focusing a bit on Winlink there, so I'm going to have to stick my nose in the setup in the laptop and make sure that that's right.
Yeah, and just to be clear, tell them that it's fine. You know, we don't have to, I know we're still on that learning curve for RF, but there's always should try to be prepared, but I understand we haven't gotten there that way with most of our membership, and there does seem to be something wrong with our gateway anyway. So we've got some of the AHF guys will be working on that. But yeah, if you can arrange it, just use Telenet or your phone, your cell phone, that's fine.
Well, thanks for letting me know that. I was sort of thinking, man, if I absolutely have to do this over RF, kind of pooched.
Yeah, the caveat as always that we should have that as a standby, but let's be honest, there's a good chunk of our membership that's, me included, to be honest with you, I'd have to pull the digirig out and all that. I'll throw it in the car, but by the time I got it working, it, probably the set would be half over. So, yeah, we're just going to do what we can. Can't guarantee anything because I'm not inside the exercise. I don't know what's going on, but my understanding is if Telnet's available, just go ahead and use it.
In that case, I want to make absolutely certain that it'll let me do a Telnet session using my cell phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Because if that'll work, I'm good to go.
Yeah, shouldn't be a problem. And now I'm doing something kind of crazy. That the Hoyt phone we got, the Cisco Hoyt phone, my car does have a dedicated phone number and its own hotspot. And I got a cable that puts it in the USB port. I can actually put that phone in my car, and it works. It is kind of funny. Big old business set phone in your car. But it does work.
Kind of neat. And, yes, that's funny. And it kind of goes back to the early days of cell phones. You remember the bag phones and the G.I. Joe phones and all that? That's what that's reminded me of.
Yeah, it sure does. This is kind of more of a out-the-back hatch type thing. Kind of what we might want to do up at the airport if we can get to it after the set. This summer, I want to, we'll set a date. We'll get up to Riley's airport there and double check with Aaron to make sure his gateway is working. And then we'll just do a little POTA in the lot like we did last year. That was before you were on, I think. And I pulled out the card table, foldable table out the back hatch, a couple of chairs. And, we just sat there and had a little Winlink party. And that's pretty cool because you can see the antenna. It's two stories high, and it's right there. So you're at point-blank range, so range cannot be an issue. It's there, and you can hear it. So at that point, you can just configure your digirig and sound modem or direwolf or whatever you're using.
That actually sounds good. Riley has his own airport, or does he just keep a plane there or something like that? Which one is it?
Well, I probably should be a little careful how we talk on that, but suffice it to say their EOC is up there. It's a county-run airport.
If you want to be quiet about it, that's fine. Just shoot me a DM on the Discord. That's all you'd have to do with that one. And let's see where I'm at. I am coming up on Big Beaver and DeQuinder.
Copy that. Its signal has not changed. Good signal. Yeah, no, it's not secret squirrel stuff. It's just they have access. Instead of Comtech like we have, they have access to their EOC pretty much any time they want. So it is on site at that airport. And that's also where they have their Winlink gateway. So, not that bad of a deal. It's just you can actually see the antenna. You know, that antenna is not 13 stories up, and if we ever do a meeting and get a meeting done with them, they'd be happy to show us. Go inside and show, you know, the gateway, what equipment they're using. I think Aaron's in charge of it, the DEC up there. He's on our Discord page. I think he was talking to us there a while back, and he's the keeper of their gateway, and he's very knowledgeable of all things WinLink.
Good. That basically makes it good for me to be able to pick his brains. I want to confirm that what I'm doing works first before I go blaming our gateway on Mount Clemens for that. I just know that it seems to me that the stuff's not talking properly in my computer is what I'm looking at. That's what I'm thinking. And the only way to confirm that it's that is to have it fail at least one other location.
NAWRO, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Cliff. I do have suspicions that our gateway isn't quite up to specs, I guess, but let's do a default test on a known good gateway, and quite frankly, I prefer not to go down to Detroit. I'd rather do St. Clair. I know it's a little bit of a haul for you, but, you know, we can make it worth your while if you get a successful transmission, you know, backwards, forward. You can actually, once you send something by RF, it's just like, oh, that's great. It kind of makes all that testing worth it once you know you've got it set and it does work. I think you're fighting a bad gateway.
That is certainly what I am hoping is happening, is that I'm up against a bad gateway. Because that'll make me feel a whole heck of a lot better. With all the research I did and getting that thing configured and it's still failing, I'm just like, You know, the look Snoopy gets when, you know, his dog dishes are beat, that kind of thing. NHCAF.
Yeah, we'll have to make a point to do that this summer. Let's just get this set over with because there's just so much planning going on with the set. So, but, you know, that's going to be fun in and of itself. I'm looking forward to that. So, all right, I'll cut you loose. Good signal still. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. After you, sir.
And you have yourself a good afternoon. Don't forget to get outside and enjoy some of this fine weather. This is coming from Metro Parkway and Ryan Road. NHCAF, clear and monitoring.
K8BCW, Harbor Springs.
W8PD, Mobile.
W8EAP, monitoring. Just to see if anybody was out here, that's all. Pretty dead out here today.
We're about an hour and a half too early.
Probably right on that. Where do I get one of them there linear amplifiers for this radio?
They're still making it in?
Actually, technically speaking, you don't need a linear amplifier for FM, just an amplifier. But, yeah, shoot me some links of these amplifiers everybody's talking about.
W88PKCKJL.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. What's going on? W88EAP.
Oh, I was just pulling off some old battery cables or power cables that went to an amp that went in his car, and I don't need them, so cut them off. I don't have any shorts anywhere. So came home early and decided to work on it and see if I can change these red and blues to amber and white. So we'll see how the wiring looks when I get into it.
Well, it's a nice day out to work on stuff. A little bit of a breeze, but very good. Yeah, I think a 50-watt mobile would be too big, but I was thinking just get a RT3S or something or a DM32 and put an amplifier on it.
Well, there you go. I can hear you all the way to Milwaukee.
All right, I'm going to go finish digging around in here. I just heard you talking on the radio and wanted to let you know that you're not alone. KZ, I'll talk to you soon.
Very good, very good. Okay, I appreciate it, appreciate it. Stand by.
Yeah, Eric, I sent you a link, or a picture, I should say. And I'm just testing it with my roof antenna. It's, I looked at the dashboard. It went down to -76 dB. So that's cool. Well, I know the amps, I mean, at least it tells me the amp's working.
Yeah, thanks for the link. I'll look that up. Because I was thinking that there's another BTEC amp, but it was analog only. So I see this is for digital.
Yeah, it's very important you get the digital model, especially for DMR, because it's always like going on off really quick. And with things like Fusion and D-Star, you don't have to worry about that, or P25, but you do have to worry about it for DMR because of the time shift multiplexing or whatever they call it.
Not a bad price either. Actually, I thought it would be about $50 more than that.
Yeah, you can get it from BTEC directly, or you could probably find it on Amazon. I mean, in your case, I would probably grab it off of Amazon so you can play with it. It does have a way where you can pass through the K connector, I think, and then use their microphone, but I don't do that. I just use the HT directly. And then you can keep the amplifier like under your seat and then just have a coax cord going to where your HT is going to sit in your cup holder.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, let's check that out. Actually pick one of those up. Could run the RT3S in the car too. Or the 1701. Not the blue radio though, but yeah. Very good. That may be a solution.
Yeah, you do have to at least give it about 2 watts of power though, so you can't just like, I think you can put it lower, but sometimes it doesn't trigger. So you want to use at least 2 watts. And, I mean, it says right on there, 2 watts to 6 watts input. And it'll scale between those ranges. So I think at the higher range, it'll get to about 35 watts. And then at the lower range, it's probably like, you know, 15, 20. And the caveat, though, it's UHF only. And, that's the only caveat I see. But you've got all those HTs. So just think you can bring whatever your favorite HT is of the week or day or whatever. There you go.
Use the UB5R Mini. And that's as small as the microphone. Anywho, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it is. It's like $40 more. It's like $155 on Amazon. It's just $40 more. That's weird.
Yeah. You factor in the shipping, the BTEC shipping. So, but no, I've been happy with it. I don't use it as much as I probably should. I mean, I could probably take that 9600 out of the car and just put stuff in there. And I'm listening more than I'm transmitting, so I'm not too worried about the HT battery.
Yeah. When I start driving again, I'll see if that 9600 could actually fit in the car. Then I got to worry about powering it up. It has a lot thicker wires. That's why I like the DB20Gs. It's got thinner wires you can plug in a cigarette lighter. All right, I'll let you go. I'll kick you on the other one. I guess my radio's working. W8EAP.
Yep, showing you -96. That's pretty good. It's like S9-ish. S8 maybe, I don't know. And then I'm -75, it looks like, but I'm on the roof antenna. I had another thought, but I'll tell you on the other side. All right, KFAS.
NATBM. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, how's it going? Not terribly bad. Let me get off the handheld and get on the 55-50 because I can. Well, I wouldn't have known the difference between the two.
Well, here's the 55-50.
That one just sounds like it's got a better microphone.
Roger, this is the handheld control head for the 55-50. I don't think this is an E.
I was thinking about those again today, and I was thinking about some different antenna mounting options. I'm on the hunt for one if you come across a smoking deal.
I will keep you in mind for the second one I see.
I do not blame you at all. But I was looking at, they make a third brake light kit for my truck, and it's got an NMO mount, so it'd be like a roof mount, but above the third brake light. But the problem is, then I got to drop the headliner, and I'm a little uneasy about doing that.
Oh, it's no big deal. Hey, I got to make a quick stop here. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'll be in a few.
Sounds good. I'll be here. I need to be up.
I'm back.
Did you get something nice and cold to drink?
Negative. I had to buy cigarettes. One of my most despised things.
You're just being a husband and doing your husband duties.
Every time I buy a carton, a minimum of $80. Ka-ching. There's 10 packs in a carton, so it seems like it's every once a week, but it's probably a little bit more than that. So you figure, for sure, 4 times a month. Yeah. That's a car payment, almost.
I just can't believe how expensive they are now. I mean, I remember when I was in college, not that I was, you know, a smoker by any means, but definitely ripped a few darts at the bar, and, you know, I'd buy a pack every now and again of some Marlboro Lights, and it was like, I don't know, for not shorts, but not the 100s, it was like $5, $5.50.
Kind of thinking that's where they were last I smoked. Remember, carton was like 50, so, you know, it's been $5 a pack, so somewhere in that range, anyhow. But nowadays, she smokes the bargain brand, and they're about the cheapest ones out there. This carton was $82, so that's $8.20 a pack. Good Lord.
Yeah, there's cheaper vices and there's more expensive ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, this one here is almost as expensive as Starbucks.
Coffee.
You know, does Motorola make coffee? Because that would be the best.
Well, it would certainly sound the best. You would think it would taste the best. And so when you're slurping it, it would sound really good. And
you'd need an entitlement key for your chai.
That's right. Yeah. Entitlements for the extras. Yeah, I like it. Maybe we ought to start a Motorola coffee shop. We'll call it Big Blue.
Is the coffee filtered through an analog filter or a digital filter?
Instead of going through the yellow.
The digital filter. Go ahead, Donald.
Those in the area of 26 and Van Dyke, later this year, there'll be a new coffee shop or place called Brunch and Brew. It's owned by the people that run the Marco's Pizza between me and Sean over here on Dequindre. They're opening up a little family thing, coffee house. It's going to be open from 7 a.m. till 3 in the afternoon. Kind of like, you know, just a simple place. Again, it's going to be called Brunch and Brew. I know the owners. And so those people out there looking for coffee in the morning, might be a place. Once I get the menu, I'll post it on Discord or something, but yeah. But yeah, Motorola coffee, digital filter or analog filter? That's the question to ponder for the evening. W-A-R-C-Y.
Well, let me make sure I got it. With that, I am making the final approach to my house, so this will be my last. I'm going to get online and I'm going to find out how to franchise a coffee shop, so we'll have Big Blue Coffee.
coming soon. Coffee products will be P25. Tea products will be like BMR. Yeah. I can see it now. Catch everybody a little later. WAFU.
You know what I didn't do today, Sean? I didn't text everybody, so if I don't do that this evening, yell at me. Dave?
Yep, still on the 9600. I'm going to try putting the amplifier back on here and use the HT. I just want to see if it's viable because it would free up a lot of space in here. Because the Trailblazer doesn't have very much dashboard room. I see some people that put, like, they have, like, on the side of their cup holder, they have, like, the mount and the mounts over on the passenger side. That wouldn't work here because the seats, like, really flush up to the side. So, oh, well.
I've been noodling ideas of if I want to keep this Motorola in a bag since now I got a new truck and it's the only truck I'm going to be driving. I don't really have the need to take a portable anymore, but I did just buy an Armalock for it, so there's that. But the bag isn't super conducive in this vehicle. My wife's, it works great because she's got a bench seat. There's no center console. But in my truck, I have the huge center console, but there's nowhere to put the bag.
Yeah, it's like they don't design this for radio operators. No, I mean, the other option is like suction cup mounts, but yeah, you want the unit. You can't... Yeah, unless it's got a head unit. So, I mean, my thought was I do more listening than transmitting. But, you know, lately it seems like I'm on the drive time with you guys. Yeah, I'm in house husband duties. So, but yeah, I've been having a lot of, I've been doing a lot of taxiing.
Yeah, I said, what are you doing tomorrow around noon?
I'm trying to think. Tomorrow's Friday, noon, nothing. All right, yeah, let me know where everybody is going.
I think it's Coney, but I'm not sure. I'll, like I said, I got to put a text together and figure that out because I've not done any coordinating.
Yeah, as far as I know, I should be available. I was just thinking if I had any interviews tomorrow. No interviews. And no driving duties. So I think I should be good.
All right, I will include you in the group text.
Sounds good. About to enter the east side. That's usually past I-94 for me.
East side, like 23 mile east side or further south?
Yeah, 23 in I-94. It's like I barely go on that side, so I feel like I'm confined to the west side of 94, and then now I'm confined to the north side of Hall. So it's like those are my two barriers I cross now.
It's weird for me to think that I used to work on the east side of 94 and 23, I forgot what that's called over there. It's basically New Baltimore, isn't it? No, maybe? Anyway, I used to work over there, and I lived in Armada, so I was, like, an east sider. And now, I still work on the east side, I guess, technically, but now I don't ever go anywhere near. That's, like, a complete dead zone for me. I don't remember the last time I went over there.
Yeah, New Baltimore area, Anchor Bay, north side of Anchor Bay. That was always foreign to me as well until I moved out here. And it's a lot of traffic, my goodness. But I do like going over there occasionally, there's like that park right next to Anchor Bay. And if you go like at nighttime when the moon's about to rise, it's kind of cool. And, but yeah, that's where her dance area is. It's like east of 94. But there's a lot of backups over here. Everybody's going to that Sheets.
Knock on wood. I don't know if it's because it's later in the week, but I've been cruising. Hall Road was fine. 53's fine. I'm sure once I get further north, it'll turn into a parking lot, though.
Yeah, I've kind of banned myself from going to M53 on 23 from my side of town, because it's like always backs up over there, and they've got it down to one lane now. So now I'm like going all the way up to like 25 mile road if I want to go over to the over to the west.
Yeah, that area has been bad for ever, and it just gets worse and worse because they keep developing that area. The good thing is they have also opened up Garfield, and there's plenty of north-south paths to get around it.
Yeah, it's usually fine in normal conditions, but when they, an ambulance. Hold on. I think MedStar just wanted to have lunch. There's no accident. So 24 mile, they're going to put a roundabout at Brockton Road. They're expanding like the Macomb Center to the south. So they're going to be digging that up. And then 23 mile between Shaner and the expressway, they got that down to one lane. So it's like you don't want to take 24 and you don't want to take 23. So it's like 25 is the next best place.
I always wondered when they were going to start to develop that area. So that community center, Suburban Ice right there, that was my home rink in high school. So I skated out of there for 4 years. And we used to drag race now in Broughton. It was nothing but fields. I'm sure there's probably still fields, but I can't believe that they're putting a roundabout there because there's so much traffic.
Honestly, I think they're putting a roundabout at 24 mile where they're going to extend it, because it's like 3 miles of no traffic lights, and we get so many dragsters. Like you said, there's people drag racing down there.
Oh, yeah, we used to cruise down there. Just the strip, though, between 25 and 24, right? No, is it 26? Does Vaughn get picked up? Does it start pavement at 26 or 25?
Sorry, I missed that. You said something about when does the pavement start, I think?
Yeah, does Broughton start at 25 to 24 is that drag strip, or is it 26 to 25?
Oh, sir. Okay, so the Broughton Road is a north-south road, and it's just at the Macomb Center there. Yeah, there's a rink there, like you were saying. 25-mile road is paved. 24-mile road is paved. But what they're doing is they want to connect. So right now, Brockton Road only goes halfway. And so I think they bought the field there, and they're going to extend the road so that it goes from the middle, you know, where the town center is, to the 24-mile road. But they're going to put a roundabout on the 24-mile road.
Okay, so then that rink is off 25 in Broughton then.
Yeah, correct.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I couldn't remember if Broughton ran between 25 and 26 or 24 and 25. So, but I think it goes further north, but it's dirt, right?
Hold on, I've got a big metal building in the way. As soon as I clear it, I'll answer you. Okay, so north of 25-mile road, there's this long road, and it may have been dirt at one point, but it's paved now, and it ends at 26, but it's like this long road, and there's two sod farm fields on either side. It's really creepy at night.
Okay, that's the one we drag race down.
Yeah, there's cars. I mean, sorry, there's houses on the southern end of it, but yeah, on the northern end, that would be a perfect place to go if you needed to like set up a telescope or something, and you didn't want to go too far north.
Yeah, I spent many, many days over there. Excuse me. That field next to the field on the north side of the rink is like a soccer football field for like middle school and stuff. That's where I played lacrosse in, like, sixth grade. So I spent lots of time there.
Yeah, I feel like the area is probably going to get all developed up within the next 10 years. This reminds me of what, like, kind of like what Sterling Heights was in the early 70s. And, I was a baby, so I didn't remember it. But I remember seeing pictures that my parents had. So Sterling Heights was all, like, fields and stuff. And Macomb, I feel like Macomb is like the new Sterling Heights, like a newer version of Sterling Heights, but in a different way.
It is crazy how fast they're building up that entire area, east, west, north, south, and Macomb Township is just getting jam-packed.
KFADS. I do believe, though, and we'll see if this comes true, that things are going to slow down a bit. I don't, because the prices of the houses are and what income you need to buy them over there is going to be crazy. So unless there's jobs that are making that much money, other than, like, the medical professions, I don't know who's going to be buying those homes.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's a sucker for every house, and there's people buying homes they can't afford. I got a buddy that's looking to move again. He's looking out by me, and house is not as nice as mine, older than mine. Mine was obviously brand new, and then with way less property cost, more than what I paid for my house, and they didn't believe us when we told them how much we paid. That's how much things have gone up in just 2 years.
Wow. Well, I took a little risk on mine. We're going to be fine. It's just amazing, though, how much I got to write off in property tax and mortgage interest. I mean, I would have owed twice as much if we didn't have that.
Yeah, between that and the kids, that was my only saving grace. I still had to pay, but not as much as I should have.
Yeah, oh, the state had to give me money back. The state always gives me money back.
Yeah, I usually do okay with state. This was just a bad year.
Yeah, I would be interested to see what the next year's going to be for me. One thing I've learned, though, I think I need to do quarterly statements because I got penalized for owing them too much.
Oh, so you don't withhold anything?
Looks like your dance class got canceled. There was a bunch of babies in there. Baby.
Gymnastics.
Oh, gymnastics. Sorry. Baby class. There was babies in there.
Babies doing gymnastics.
Eric's like commenting in the background. Babies in Burnside.
I'm still on Mount Clemens somehow, and I'm in downtown Elmont, so there's that.
Yep, you're doing well. Now I'm going east. I'm going westbound again. I'll be home soon, so I'll probably be clearing at the same time as you.
Well, like I said, I was cruising, and I knew it was too good to be true. So now I'm in a line just trying to get through town here. We're doing 20 miles an hour.
I remember, they don't make a freeway bypass anymore, right? They on purposely made it go through Elmont because they were worried that there was going to be any traffic to the businesses. Is that the reasoning?
Who knows? It's all good old boy mentality with no common sense or logic.
WEAP.
Go ahead, Eric. I'm almost home.
Just wanted to key up and say hello to you and Dakota. He just switched over to Burnside.
Well, good afternoon, Eric. Yeah, I was surprised that I was still on Mount Clemens. It just switched over here the last key up. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yep. Which antenna are you using? Are you using the 2x4?
I am using a 2.5-inch Tram Magmo NMO with a Tram UHF NMO, I think it's 7 or 8-inch antenna.
Yeah, is that like UHF only, right?
Yeah, it's pinky. Like, when I ordered two of them, I ordered one for each mount I have. And when I pulled them out, I'm like, these look like toys. And I'm like, there's no way these are going to work good. And they completely blew me away.
Yep. Trem isn't too bad. I mean, for a cheap brand, they're pretty good. I've got a lot of good luck. I have the base antenna and a mobile antenna. It's kind of like a UT-72 style, you know, like 20 inches with a little coil. It looks just like a UG-72 or a Nagoya one is. But, yeah, yep, you don't need much for UHF.
Any DBF. I've only ever used the, But I bought that this little dual band, like, self-contained mag mount for, like, it's like a 14-inch. I have that on my clear note, and it's just stuck to the side of my network cabinet in the basement. And I've used those forever. And I don't know what to note, so I don't know how well I can gauge it. But I've always gotten plenty of distance out of it, never had any issues. So that was the extent of my experience with them. And I was like, screw it, these are cheap, I'll try it, see if it works. This was when I was still all new to the UHF-only stuff. And, man, I don't know that I'm going to switch. I'm just going to keep running them.
Actually, when I'm traveling on the highway, I got an adapter to go from SO239 to SMA, and I run one of my rubber ducks on the magnet, and it works fantastic. Blew my socks off how good it worked.
I think the biggest battle is getting whatever you got outside the vehicle, but yeah, it doesn't take much for sure.
Yeah, it works really good on UHF. I haven't really tried it on VHF. Works great on UHF, and I can go off-road when I'm on the highway or going off-road. I don't have to worry about it, but once I'm in town and I'm not getting on the highway, I switch over to the 2x4 for maximum range, obviously. But it does pretty good for its size, but yeah. And I tried 3 or 4 different 771 equivalents, and I actually found one that works noticeably better on the magnet. Because the ones that work better on your HT may or may not work better on the magnet. It's weird.
So I know you test the crap out of antennas and pay attention to what they do and how they do it. What are your thoughts on those salt shaker-like antennas, the GMRS ones that the guys all use? I don't want one because I think it looks cool. I want one because I feel like I could put it on an NMO and take it through the car wash and not have to worry about it.
WEAP. You know what? I looked at those and I thought about them and had them as far as in my Amazon cart, but I never bought one. It's weird because there's like 3 or 4 different brands of them, and they all say, one guy will say, yeah, I tested it on my V&A, it's flat match on UHF and 2 meter. And the other, and there'll be another review of the guy who says, oh, it's got a 6-to-1 match on UHF and a 8-to-1 match on VHF. So you don't know what to believe. So one of these days I'll get one and try it out.
That's pretty much where I'm at. I've read reviews, and some guys are like, you might as well use a dummy load. It's just a circuit board in there to give the radio a match. Other guys are like, it works great. I have no issues. So I don't know what to believe either, but I think if I'm going to buy one, I'm going to buy a reputable brand. I know Motorola makes them. I just don't know that they make the UHF low enough. I think they're for the 450-470. And the ones that I found in the 403 to like 440, 450 or whatever that range is, they're names I don't recognize, so I'm hesitant to try them.
Yeah, I'll take another look tonight on Amazon. But another thing you got to look at is how much power can they handle. Most of them are only like 10 watts. Some will say 50 watts, and then the review will say, yeah, I put 20 watts through it, and it like popped instantly. Yeah, I got to revisit that again just for giggles. And it's just going to be a compromise. There's no way it's going to work as good as you got now, but for something, if you're going to be local within 10 miles of a repeater and not have to worry about it hitting anything, or like you said, going through a car wash, it might be the way to do it.
Yeah, I got to order one, do a real world test, and or borrow one if the owner, Sean doesn't have any in that band. I'm going to say, I would like to just try one before I buy one, because I have a feeling whatever I buy, like getting a reputable brand, the return process isn't going to be like Amazon where I just drop it off and I'm done with it. But that's the thing, right? Like, I'm every bit of 15 miles from Burnside right now. And when I was roaming a couple miles south of here on Mount Clemens, I bet you I was probably 30 or more miles away from that. So my signals are good, but that doesn't mean I want to play with it and start shaving RSSI off of it either.
Yeah, matter of fact, you got more of a selection if it's an NMO mount, because I have a SO239 mount on all my magnets. So there's only like one or two brands, but I guess, I mean, even Midland. Midland makes that one. I mean, that's kind of a mid-grade reputable brand, I guess. I would try a Midland one, because, like I said, there's a lot more selection in NMO mount.
Excuse me. So you know what I did on my other truck, or not my other truck, my other mount that was on my last truck? I had a Breedlove mount with a SO239, like, barrel connector that was like a pseudo bulkhead. It had two nuts that you just kind of tighten it down to adjust. They sell NMO adapters that just have a center pin that goes in the hole of the SO, and then it's got a ring that you screw onto it, and you just have to play with the depth to get the right SWR. It works great. I had like a 1.5, which I don't know what the match was on that truck at any point. I don't think it was ever great. But it was a 1.5, and it was like $7 for two of those, and that gave me the ability to then run NMOs on a UHF.
Yeah, you've seen the adapters for NMO to UHF and UHF to NMO. Looking at those right now. A lot of those stubby ones I see are dual band. I've seen them as cheap as $10, and it's got a pretty high rating. It doesn't say what brand it is.
Those adapters were the most hesitant I've ever been about a product. I was like, there's no way this is going to work. Like, this is a gimmick. And I was pleasantly surprised. But that's what I'm saying, right? $10 for a dual band salt shaker antenna. First of all, why would you want your 2-meter antenna that small? There's no way that works good. That's what I wonder, like, is that what those guys are trying to do with it? It's 2-meter. They want a low pro antenna, and they're trying to crank 2-meter out of that dinky thing.
Looks like the only ones that are UHF are UHF-VHF. The only single-band ones I see are specifically for GMRS, so I don't know. It's kind of hard. So, now, will the one for GMRS work on your vehicle? It may be wide-band enough.
That's what I got to look at, because even so I ordered a new rubber duck for my 7550 because the one that came with it was pretty beat up. And it's advertised as 450 to 470, but on the bottom of the antenna it says 403 to 470. So I know Motorola makes one of those salt shaker antennas. I'm wondering if that's the same deal where they say it's, you know, 450 to 470, but it's actually wideband enough to cover the UHF ham portion.
No, I'd go ahead and order one, try it out. I mean, I live less than a half mile from the UPS store. I just, if I could ride a bike, I would ride my bike or walk there. It's real close. So, yeah, if it's convenient to return it, I'd just say order two or three of them and then just return the two that don't pass muster, or all three if you have to.
Yeah, I might do that because I have UPS come to the office every day, and as long as I got a label on it, they'll pick it up. So I'm probably going to actually do just that. But on that note, I just pulled in the dryer, so I'm going to clear out, but I'll be back on the HT here in a little bit. N8DBF, I'll listen out.
Yep, I got to head out the door myself, go to physical, get ready to go to physical therapy. So I will talk at you later, 7-3s. This is WAEAP.
KCAKJO.
Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Too close to your mic, Darren. You almost blasted my doors off. KCAKJO.
My radio, I think, just has. How are you doing right now?
that's a lot better. I'm not deaf now. And heading out to an emergency run at Taylor.
Do you get paid after an emergency run today, or is that not on the table?
Oh, no. I make 3.5. I make 3 hours of overtime, whether 5 minutes or 3 hours. So I get paid door to door. The time I leave my house, the time I get back.
That's kind of cool that you get paid door to door. All of other people get paid based on when we get into the work doors and when we leave the work doors.
Only for emergency runs do I get paid door to door. I get paid from the time that they call me and I go on, you know, I go on route to the time that I clear in my travel pack. So if I leave at 5 o'clock and I get back at 8, then I get 3 hours. If I leave at 5 o'clock and I get back at 9, I get paid 4 hours.
Are you ready for the net later today?
Yeah, I'll probably be on the road, but I'll sign into the net at 7. Are you ready for the net? I'm going to run some wind link tests and see how my laptop does.
Yeah, it's kind of important to know how long your battery and your laptop's going to last, especially if you need to use it quite a bit.
Oh, I'm sure I got an inverter, so I'll have that set up, and so I don't have to worry about my battery dying on my laptop. And because it's an interceptor, she idles, and I got an idle timer on her, so I'll be good to go. I'm just going to test a couple things out. You know, I got my DMR mounted in my car. I got my analog mounted in my car, so I'm good to go there.
That sounds cool. Yeah, you also got your car recently, so there's some of that setup that we want to do to make all that kind of roughly correct. Especially since you had a gazillion and one radios in it, in your work vehicle at least. You probably want some of those, or some of those in your personal vehicle too.
Well, the P25, I don't think we'll be doing that because not everybody has P25. But I got UHF, I got VHF analog, and I got my DMR. So I got all three that we usually use for the set.
I think I'm going to try to run the set using my TYT radio primarily. I don't necessarily know which one, whether I'm going to throw the mobile in the car or just use VHT, but that's what I'll try probably.
Well, you want a mobile with a mag mount or something so you can get out there. With an HT is only 5 watts, that 9600 is 50 watts.
Yeah, I have a mag mount already. I also have a window lift mount for an antenna. I don't know which one will do better. I kind of think that they'll both perform reasonably well. So I think I'll want to maybe try to figure that one out.
Well, there you go.
I'm at a 12-mile in De Quinter over here, and I see what looks like a construction site of some sort. It looks like they might be making a gas station. Have you heard anything about whether or not they're having a gas station there?
Probably another cheap gas station. I wouldn't doubt it. They're popping up all over the place.
Definitely a sheep. It's right around the corner from my house.
Well, there you go, Darren. It's a sheep. Hello, Sean.
Hi, guys. Yeah, who gives a sheep, right? Hey, I need to even a coat plug here, so I'm going to get back to it because it's one of the things where it's like I take my attention away from it, I get all boogered up. So carry on. Just wanted to answer the question that I had an answer to. WAFU. Darren?
Hello, Sean. This is Kilo Fox Friday, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Get back to work, Obi-Wan. 73 to you, KCK Joe. Are you on your HT now, Darren, or are you on your... What mobile do you have? Do you have the TYT M9600?
I have a TYT9600 that's in my backpack at home right now. The battery is disconnected because I don't know if it will kill the battery or not, if it is given the chance to. I'm right now on my TYT handheld. It's a 390. It's a 10-watt radio from what I understood. And it has a GPS in it, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, the MPU-V390, I think that's a 10-watter, but don't quote me on that. All my stuff is, I got a Rutevis 3TS or 3ST or 3-something, and then got a couple other HDs.
The 390 is not necessarily by itself a 10-watt. They sell 5-watt variants of them, and the 5-watt variants are all over the place on Amazon. And to try to get the 10-watt variant was a little bit harder to get, especially the 10-watt with the GPS.
Well, now you need to put some bucks down and get a Motorola the XPR5550 or 4500 for DMR UHF.
Did you say that you have a Motorola radio for the UHF, VHF, and DMR?
No, Motorola is either UHF or VHF. I have a Motorola UHF DMR, the 5550D.
Is that one of their current-gen Motorolas, or Motorola Mobiles, or is that a last-gen Motorola Mobile?
Oh, I don't know. I just bought it with the code plug. Wally put the code plug in it for me. So I upload this code plug, and I put it on my 4500, so they're both identical kind of thing.
That's one of the things that I like about running the OpenGD77 software on an HT and on a mobile, because you can just have the same code plug across either of them so that you have the same channels, same zone number system, so that you can just copy the code plug from one and the other and not have any differences if need be.
100%. I got the MD9600, the Rutevis 3S, the Baofeng MD1701, and TYT MDUV380 all have the same code plug. I've got like four radios that use it. And then my two Motorolas, the XPR4550 and the 5550, both have the identical code plug. Right now I'm working on an XPR6550 and trying to get that one to accept the code plug. I can upload it, but I can't download it because there's an entitlement that I got to put in there, and I can't get it in. So that's another project that I'm working on this weekend.
It seems like there's two people that I know of that would know how the heck to go about that, which would be John and Sean, I think. Both of those two would know how the heck to get a code plug to work on a Motorola system.
Well, the 6550 is an older radio. It's like a 2024 model. I probably just got to upgrade the firmware and then I can get the code plug in there. But there's two different types of Motorola software that I have. I got CPS 2.0 with the latest on that. And then I got the Moto Turbo 16.0, which is for that radio. And it doesn't connect to the server for me to get the entitlement ID updated. So I do a little bit of trickery with it when I get a chance.
Yeah, those Motorola radios interest me, but at the same point in time, they're so much more expensive than the other radios that are around, and I don't necessarily know how much of a benefit that actually results in.
Oh, believe me, you get a Motorola, you'll fall in love with a Motorola. You know, like I said, it's a more robust radio. I mean, it's used, you know, like I said, for business bands and police bands. So that's why it's either UHF or VHF. But it does the digital, and I love it.
Right about now, I think I probably need to switch over to the other channel. So now I think I'm on the Mount Clemens channel from the Detroit one. Do you still have a good signal out there?
Yep, you're still clean.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm on, right now, the south side of the GM Tech Center complex.
Yeah, you're still good.
Like I said, I'm on probably the Detroit tower, or Mount Clemens, one of the two. You know, but I don't pay attention to it because it automatically changes towers when I need to.
That's one of those features that the Motorola's have that I kind of like the OpenGD 77 to figure out, but I think I'd have to get a Motorola to actually have it to work correctly.
Yeah, it's pretty much set it and forget it. So I set the radio up, and I forget about it, and all I do is just go to statewide one, and it finds a better signal and a better, you know, the best power, and then links right into it.
I noticed a bunch of antennas that look like it could be ham radio antennas nearby the Warren Community Center, I think it is, where one of the Warren libraries is located just next to the tech center. Anyone have an idea of what repeater that may or may not be, if it even is a ham radio repeater?
Oh, I'm sure it's microwave links for the county, microwave links for the state, microwave links to the feds. I mean, it could even just be cell towers. So who knows what's up there. You know, but every police station has an antenna on top of their building or close to it. Just because it's height. So it could be anything. It's like the Penobscot. There's a big old antenna up there. It's a radio station.
It could just be anything. Looking at lower down on the tower, I do see some cell tower sector antennas. The top is where I noticed what looked to be three or four different dipoles.
Which tower specifically are you looking at, Darren?
I think it's a tower that is right next to the nearby the Warren Tech Center that's associated, I think, with the police, and it's nearby the Warren Library, too.
Yeah, it's got two cellular companies on it, and then it's got the MECA receiver and the FBI.
You said net receiver, something like that? Is that a net for, like, the WAA-MAC repeater? Or are you thinking of something else that's related to the regular police radio system?
Yeah, MECA, 147.2, the ARPSC repeater. We call it the MECA. Anyhow, the Warren receive site is there.
Well, that's cool. That kind of also explains why I can get stronger signals in that area.
Yeah, there you go. All right, back to it. Just taking a little time out and eating my jumbo cashews. WAFU.
Cashews are a good snack, that's for sure.
Sean, stop that on the radio. Get your work done. But yes, Darren. These are jumbo cashews that I picked up at this shop in downtown Lansing. They have the best cashews, and they're fresh. I mean fresh. I mean, I don't walk out of there with less than $40 worth of merchandise. That's how much I spend over there. Because it's all, I mean, you walk in there and all you smell is roasted peanuts and roasted cashews. They do it right there in-house. It used to be a Planters peanut shop. And they sold it out, and now it's privately owned. And they make a bunch of custom mixed nuts in there and standard ones. So if you ever get a chance when you're in Lansing, you got to check it out. It's called the Peanut Shop of Lansing.
That's cool. I just driven past one of the hospitals on 12 Mile Road, and I remembered about the hospital nuts that they're trying to get up and running. And I remember when I was there at that hospital one time, I remember seeing a UHF or VHF receiver of some sort, and it had like a sticker on it that was labeled for security or something like that. So it was just a bit of a surprise to see a radio at a hospital in the
an accessible area.
It just all depends on where the setup is at. I mean, a lot of these hospitals have reconfigured themselves quite often. I mean, I have one hospital in Fort Huron, and the ARPS radio is actually in a secure area, but it's 100% operational.
Yeah, well, where the radio was that I was thinking about in that 12-mile hospital, it's not anywhere near a spot where you'd want to be. There would be something like, you know, the ER space, which would probably be a mile, you know, the very one of the other main entrances or something like that. But no, it was way in the middle of the building altogether.
Yeah, it could just be set there, you know, until they do a remodel. But that's what we're going to be working on is getting all the locations operational, and then we're going to be doing hospital networks. That's all about. You'll get to check that out once everything is ready to go. It's the process right now. KCKGO.
I think it'd be interesting to see some of the pictures of what the radio setup would look like over there once they finally sort all that out, even if I never get to visit it in person myself.
Well, we'll see what happens once the EC and the DEC start getting that set up and we start doing collaboration with our liaisons. Like I said, that's in the works.
I remember driving along a highway road or whatever, noticing an antenna on a tower, and then I remembered reading somewhere on one of the towers that somewhere in that general area was a certain repeater, and I figured out which repeater that was.
Well, if you want to read some interesting content, go to long-lines.net, longlines.net. Those are the former AT&T long lines towers back for the old landlines, you know, regular telephones. And there's some pretty interesting reads there. You got to check it out. And all of a sudden you'll start looking for long lines towers like I have.
Okay, I just got out from behind someone who I had no clue what the heck they were doing, but they were driving very, very slow. Less than 10 miles an hour on a 45-mile-an-hour road. Yeah, I've seen the AT&T long lines before in person, particularly when I was out visiting my sister in Colorado. I remember noticing one or two of them out there. I read up a little bit on them, and there's a little bit more that they would do than just phone calls. For example, on the East Coast, they would run, I don't necessarily know if it was, like those Saturday Night Live types of TV shows. They'd run one of those out in New York City, and then they'd stream it across the whole country so that people could watch it where they couldn't actually get to it over, like, a direct connection themselves.
Yeah, those horns do that. I mean, they're made for video and audio. Like I said, there's a whole big YouTube videos and everything on it, and it's pretty darn interesting about those long lines. And that's how, before cable, that you can see some of the other TV shows that are broadcasted for those microwave links. So it's pretty interesting. And those buildings are pretty well fortified, and they're huge. They're small above ground, but they are huge below ground.
I've not seen any of the inside images of them because, well, I just haven't found those kinds of videos quite yet. But from what I could see, from what I understood, they were designed to be bomb-resistant to some extent, so that if there was a blast that went off somewhere in their general area, they'd at least be able to resist it somewhat and still have communications up and running.
100%. The same thing with the Nike missile bases. You wouldn't believe how many are in Michigan that you drive by every day.
Would you say that is in the area that you drive by every day?
Nike missile launch sites.
Was that the truck-mounted nuclear missile system, or was that something else?
No, they were in horizontal silos. You hit a button, all these doors open up, and then the missile pops up. You hit a button, and off it goes. And there's also Minuteman missile silos that are all over the place. And you can buy one for a cool $5 million if you want. But there's some pretty interesting stuff out there besides just radio antennas. Believe me, I look at all that stuff.
There's a museum of a Minuteman missile silo system. And they have a ham radio antenna that you can use out there. You just have to let them know that you're going to be using
it. Absolutely. There's also one on the Huron light ship in Port Huron. There's a radio station there that you can schedule a day and use it. And also the USS Silversides up in Muskegon. There's a ham radio club for that as well. All you do is call them up and go visit it.
Okay, well, I'm at home. Talk to you later.
All right, Darren. Sounds like you're almost home. So 73 for now. KCK Joe.
I forgot to throw my call sign out. Kilo Fox Trotty, Echo Tango, Quebec.
Okay, Wayne.
That sounds like Dave out there, KCK Joe.
Yeah, that's because it is.
I thought it sounded like you. Just got out the door, I take it?
Yeah. I had a whole call there with Wally for a few minutes, and then down that hill.
Yeah, I'm heading down here to Taylor on a fire alarm, so don't know exactly what's going on until I get there. Hopefully it isn't anything too traumatic. I get out of there, then I can get back on the road and get on the net. Hopefully I can reach you here from Detroit. We'll see.
Yeah, it would be a good test. See if your equipment can reach that far.
Yeah, I'm excited to try. So we'll see what happens when I get out. I know I get somewhat here in KPAC, but that's about it. It can't really hit in there too much, but we'll see what happens here from downriver.
I'll be interested to hear. So the plan is to be on the net, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I brought that icon with me, so all I got to do is do a couple key punches on it and set it up for Warren, UHF, and Mecca, and then it should be good to go.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're older radios, but, so they're front panel program only. There's no software form or anything like that, so I just got to go in there and program it, put the PL tone in it, and the offset. And then it should be good to go.
Cool, yeah. Brittany's looking at getting her ham license, and so I figure, best to listen along, and that we kind of get used to the lingo and how things operate and stuff like that. So.
Oh, absolutely. That way she gets a first-hand listen to how everything goes, so. Yeah, I'll set it up for, if I'm not out of here too late, maybe I'll try to drop it off at the house there for you.
Perfect. Sounds good to me. If not, not a big deal. Very unflexible, so whatever, whenever you have the time, it's, no rush.
Well, I'll be breezing right by your place anyway, so. If I get off on 23, well, no big deal. Yeah, we'll see how it rolls when I get that far.
Okay. Sounds good, sir.
All right. I'm like 2 minutes out from my destination, so I'll let you get home, get some food in your belly, and get ready for tonight's night. 73 in your final. KCK Joe.
Sounds good there, Tom. Enjoy your evening. Drive safe on the way down and on the way back. Hopefully it's uneventful there for you. But we'll talk here later. 73, see ya. KYNU.
KAK, Joe.
KAYNU, this is NAWCB.
Hey, Dan, how are you? This is KAYNU.
I'm doing real well. I'm tired, but mowed the lawn and did some weed whacking today. A little tired there. How's things going? I know you said things were coasting along pretty good. How was the last four? Hopefully the bottom didn't drop out.
You know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad day. It was moving right along, and we had the manpower to cover the calls, and so can't complain, actually.
For a last day before a long weekend, I'd say, hey, that's great. Head home and, not like feel like you're, beat up there going home. At least you're going home in good shape and ready to open the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to having some time off here. So excited about it. Got to get up on the roof here if it doesn't rain and do some antenna checking and make sure everything's all situated. And then got some cameras I got to install, so it'll be good.
Well, it definitely sounds like tomorrow is filling up there quick, and Saturday's filled up. So it's sounds like you got a busy weekend already.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. I think tomorrow we've got a little bit of stuff to do, but I mean, we'll pace ourselves and do it in chunks and get done what we can get done. So. But it'll be all right. It'll be good.
Yeah, that's all you can do, just do it in chunks, do it how you're able to. And, there's always tomorrow there or the next day or whatever your next day off or whatever's convenient. But, I've got to run up to tomorrow afternoon. I've got an appointment and hopefully that won't take too long, a little after 2 o'clock, so we can get back before the rush hour really gets going. NAWCB.
Yeah, it's been busy. I don't know. It's been busy lately with traffic and construction and everything else, so it's good to get out early as you can.
Yeah, as I mowed the lawn, it's like, man, traffic was just crazy on the main street out here. I just like, and it was, 11-ish, 12-ish. It's like, man, a lot. What's going on? Is, school getting out? No, not really. I don't know what was going on there. But, yeah, I made that appointment. I didn't have a choice.
Hopefully it'll be a quick quick appointment for you, and traffic won't be too bad, hopefully.
Yes, yeah. In fact, the appointment's over by Dr. Wood's office, so it's not too far away. It's just, just getting out that time of the day, but, I guess I'm just getting older, not used to it. I used to normally go out in the morning, so it'll work out one way or another.
I don't think it's that you're getting old. I just think that as things progress, things get busier and busier, and it's like not used to the traffic and the nonsense that goes on. I get that way, too. It's like it's busy. It's like, get me out of here. I'll head home, and then if I get out early, great. If not, I'll wait till later on until things cool off or until things slow down a little bit.
Boy, that's the truth. I agree with you on that one. I know I've done that in the past, especially if I've had back in the day when I did training anywhere, Detroit or, I had a class at Taylor or Belleville or whatever, and it's like I just stayed around down there until the rush hour got done. It's just like it's not worth dealing with that.
Yeah, no, it's, it's just one of those things. Being up here, it's
there's not as much traffic up here, and but you can tell it's sort of Sterling Hayes, Shelby, you know, towards that area. It's just busy. It's lots of construction, lots of different things going on, or traffic, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to go back north.
I don't blame you on that one. I don't blame you. It was, and used to, work at Clinton, and getting out at 3 wasn't bad if they, got held over or anything, got over to 4. And there is a huge difference. But, again, the big difference on Clinton is there were a lot of different, a lot of different ways to go. You had Metro, you had Cass. I'd even go up to Hall Road or you'd go across, Garfield, Hayes. It was easy to get around down there. And if it was snagged up in one place, you could always turn off and, cut through somewhere. That was the best. That was one of the good things when I worked down at Clinton.
Hey, Wayne, it is nice. It is nice to be able to travel through Clinton. Even with, Macomb Township, if you know certain streets go through, and I'm starting to get to know Macomb Township really well, that it's like, all right, if it's congested here, I can turn down this street, and I may have to wind through it, but it'll get me to another major street that I can get out on and, then head to another side street if I had to.
NAWCB, yes, exactly. You learn those streets that go through. You might have to wind through or take a street down and cut one way or another and through another to get to the next, main street. But at least you're able to get through. That's huge right there. I remember I had another appointment down Oak Park and as in Royal Oak and cutting through, and I was back up on 13 Mile Road, and it's like, hey, I'm going to just swing south. I think it was Clawson Street, and went down to Webster and back up to Woodward and went over Trafford and hit Coolidge and went south. It's like, just good to know your way around especially some of the side streets out there.
It is. A good thing to know, because it's just, you just never know. And I think dispatching it helps, because it's like I'm staring at a map all the time and dispatch for that area. So it's like, yep, this works. And someone needs directions to get the call, then at least I know, hey, you can turn down the street to get down to this, and so on and so forth.
Definitely concur with you on that. Definitely have been in situations, and driving with mom, and take a shortcut through, or take one of the side streets through, and come out, and I'm sitting there, hey, you know where we're at? she has no clue. She says, no, I have no clue where I'm at. And I said, I'll just drive along here for a couple minutes. She'll figure it out. And then she's like, oh, yeah, now I know where we're at.
Yeah, I like to do that to Leo. It's fun. It's like, she's like, I'm lost. I'm totally lost. Yeah, give it a few minutes, and you'll know where you're at. Then the light bulb comes on, and she's like, oh, yeah, I know where I'm at.
Yes, indeed. Like you say, it's good to know some of those side streets. And like you say, when you're dispatching and, you're seeing them on a map, and, sometimes even I go through some of the streets like that just to, see where I'm at and see where the calls are and see the street going through and just some of the landmarks and that. That was a huge help. And, even being able to get on the road a little bit was a big help, too, because a lot of the officers, they knew their way around. They knew the shortcuts. And it's like getting into the back of Eisenhower. We cut through some wooden bridge and went out onto Odilon, and that took us back out to 24 Mile. It's like, wow, it's good to know that.
Super secret scroll stuff,
NAWCB, yes, exactly. Secret squirrel stuff. Exactly. Definitely know those hiding places and those cut-throughs there. Absolutely. Makes a big difference there. There was a cut-through there to get into Mallow Junior High next door to Eisenhower, and I think it was off a horizon there, off a mountain. And it's like, okay, that's where you can get through. And so it really makes a big difference there when you're dispatching, and you can, say, hey, this is where it's at, or this cut through, or whatever.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I've had to walk crews in the scenes, and it's like, they're trying to get through because the road's closed or something, and I had to walk them through step by step to get to their calls. But it works. It's good knowledge to have.
Exactly. And if they keep you busy, you can always have them do radar on Pagoda Wood there. Exactly.
Right. That is for sure. So, well, Dan, I am home. So I'm going to unwind here. I'm going to head in and unwind, get ready for the net, and enjoy the weekend. But appreciate you coming along and a good conversation on the way north. Looking forward to chatting here soon. We got Skywarn this weekend and lots of good stuff coming up. So, enjoy your evening, and we'll talk here soon.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up. Exactly. There's Skywarn, and I got the Nets tonight, doing our net and doing the Oakland net tonight. So, definitely staying pretty busy with it. But, thanks for the ride along. Definitely enjoyed the conversation there. We'll let you head on in. And hope your radio maintenance goes well tomorrow. And like I say, we'll probably catch up with you there at the Skywarn event. But anyway, we'll let you head in. Tell everyone hello, and enjoy your evening. Enjoy the weekend. 73s and 88s to you and the family. NAWCB is clear on your final.
Sounds good, Dan. Sounds good. Enjoy your evening, and let us know if you need anything. 73s and 88 to you, Mom. KYNU, Claire.
KTMR, NADDF. KTMR.
KADCW. KC8MXG, testing.
KC8MXG, testing.
KFAS testing Novi repeater from Rochester.
Hey, David. How's it going? Loud and clear.
N6WY on statewide 1.
Yeah, I was surprised it was working. I had to try it. KFAS.
Well, I saw your ID popped up several times. Well, I'm sitting here working on computers, and I thought, you must be testing something, trying to get in a distant repeater or something. But anyway, how's your 890 going, your Unitone 890?
Yeah, those are my key-ups. I'm actually talking on my 890 right now. I've got one of those B-Tech amps, and I just wanted to try it out. And it looks like it's getting in there pretty good. Go ahead again, Dave. I missed your last transmission.
I'm sorry. I didn't hold down the push the talk button. My finger got weak, I guess. Like I said, I was convinced I had a bad hotspot. But I bought a new one yesterday, and this one's not working any better with Brandmeister. I can't get a nice green star as far as the signal report goes. And a lot of times it says repeater not found. And VER is always very high. I try it offset. I can make the VER go higher with the offset, but I can't bring it down any.
That's interesting. The only thing I can think of, and I'm sure you already know how to do this, you did the calibration. So there's a calibration. You got to calibrate with the radio you're going to use the most. And then you may just have interference on the frequency you're using. You might want to just change your hotspot frequency. Maybe listen to it with, normal FM and see if you're hearing interference.
It's another problem. Exactly. I thought I had a clear frequency, and I heard interference on it. So I got my P25 receiver up because I knew it was not a standard ham thing, and it was a P25 repeater right on the hotspot frequency I was using, 442.0125. And I was shocked to hear P25 through my P25 scanner at that frequency.
You found Sean's P25 machine, yeah. There's he put that up in Mount Clemens somewhere. So yeah, you gotta move your.
Well, I did that, and I'm gonna play around with it tonight a little bit more, and see if I, do a factory reset. Save my cold plug, of course. Do a factory reset, and hopefully it's not the cold plug as bad. But I got it. There's something going on that's just not right. My 878 works perfectly with that hotspot, the new one and the old one. So, I got a real old one, an R Finder hotspot. I'm going to try that one tonight with the 890, see if it's any better, and see if I get a better signal report on Brandmeister. How's my audio? Am I overmodulated or anything like that? Well, that was a good strong carrier, but it's no audio.
Yes, I'm trying one more time here. Let me see if this worked. Okay, that was odd. It showed me on time slot 2 there for a moment on the dashboard. Radio was on time slot 1, so I don't know. But anyways, everything's working so far. No, you sounded pretty good.
Well, all right, Dave. I'm going to let you go back to your testing, and hopefully you get a good, some good data and convince yourself everything's working. Unlike me, I haven't convinced myself yet that my 890 is good, but I'm working on it. I need to spend more time with it, but can't do it all the time. Anyway, 73s, thanks for the report. Talk to you later. KF8S, this is N6WY.
All right, we'll talk to you later. And yeah, check. There is a firmware update. It's 1.04. I don't know if it will help, but you can check it out. 1.04 is the 890's latest firmware. All right, talk to you later. KF8S.
Well, one more final comment. I did upgrade it to 1.04 and took away the NXDM, and then I got a experiment around. I finally got one that works. NXDM unapproved add-on to 1.04. So now I got NXDM back into the Emicon. And I understand nobody has an NXDM repeater.
Okay, well, you're ahead of me. I just put the NXDM firmware on here. I have not played with NXDM at all, but I might mess around with it in the next couple days, but right now just doing DMR, keeping it simple. All right, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, see you.
Okay, 73, Dave, and 6WY is clear.
KCHKJL.
So did you fix it? KFAS. Nope.
I go one place and it drops there, and I go to another place and it drops there. Then I go back to the first place and everything drops. It's an old controller. There's a power issue somewhere, and I don't know if they cut a wire somewhere or shorted a wire, but I definitely have a ground on the power. So
I changed out a couple modules and boards and still the same. All they use it for is Fire. They got a different system in there for Berg, but it's still showing Berg points in trouble. It's showing a gateway trouble. It's just irritating. So I'm like, all right, I'm done. I've been here for 2 hours. I'm not doing anymore.
Wow, what do they do in that case? Do you come back tomorrow to try to do more troubleshooting, or is it off to somebody else now?
Nope, I did what I could. I mean, even says in the worker, there might be a cut wire. It's like, all right, well, I'm not going in a, you know, it's got to be traced out. The cable's got to be traced. It's up in the ceiling, or, you know, up in the deck somewhere. And there's resin every, you know, there's resin dust everywhere. I'm literally, you know, I'm whiter than I'm not my normal white, put it that way.
Spray it over it.
Well, even the maintenance guy that I met up with, he was all covered in dust. I'm like, what do you guys do here? He goes, we make adhesives. I'm like, no, that figures. So, I'm done.
Yeah, it becomes a safety hazard. Who knows what you breathe in?
Well, if I wake up in the morning and my nose is glued shut, then we'll know. Because I don't open my mouth in that place. I breathe through my nose. You know, but yeah, I mean, I was just going in the area where they were moving the bags around. And he moved this one bag, and it was like this big cloud. I'm about to walk into it, and I literally could walk underneath it. It was crazy. I'm like, well, I've never done that before. And, but like I said, just, it's dust, it's a dusty, dusty place.
Yeah, I let somebody else run the wire. You come back to fix the alarm when they do that.
Well, exactly that. I got there a little bit after 6. I left there a little bit after 8. I'm not going to get home till 10, well, 9:30, but we've counted. And I'm like, I'm just done. I still got to get my timesheet and send that in tomorrow. And I'm just covered. These clothes are trash. Usually I can wear a uniform 2 and 3 days. I'm wearing black pants and a dark blue all shirt. So, yeah, I'm covered.
Well, sorry to hear that. I'm sure that wasn't the worst job that you've had, though.
Oh, I've been in worse, believe me. And what floats around there is citric acid powder for, you know, in a electrolyte drink.
Wouldn't want to get that. That's interesting how, like, you know, it goes in your body and it's fine, but, like, outside it's not, so. But, yeah, I'm just here driving home from, my daughter went to her flute lesson, so I'm just driving home. I've been all over the place today. I've been to Pontiac, been to Chesterfield, and then back again. Rochester, and then back again. There we go.
I was in Saginaw this morning and Chesterfield in the afternoon, and I went home. Just I got home. Well, I got home a little bit early and was working on my interceptor, you know, pulling out some old speaker cables and all this other junk that was in there. And then they called me and said, hey, we got one at Taylor, so I could drive all the way out here. You know, I was going south. My wife and my daughter were coming north because they were down in a Wyandotte at a tattoo parlor. So it's just ridiculous.
So how many miles do you think you'll get out of your interceptor? Like, how many does it have on it now? Like, do you think you'll be able to keep it for a while?
Oh, yeah, she's in pretty good shape. I got to do a tie rod in on the passenger side. So I got the robust, you know, the heavy-duty one that they recommended. I got the two O2 sensors, the outflow and the inflow and the outflow, whatever they call them. Not sure which one I need, but I bought both just in case. Just did the exhaust yesterday, got rid of that resonator that was falling apart, and the flex pipes were also rotted. So new flex pipes and a straight pipe all the way back to the rear mufflers. She's got, 142,000, just under 143,000 now. And she's still smooth. I mean, she's nice. She's clean. So take care of her. I'm not going to be, you know, taking her on big old trips or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you can, you got to make a, you should have started this, when you first got it. You should have, you make a little mini, YouTube series, about your interceptor.
Well, I belong to a, Facebook group now. That's what it says, 2020 and newer, Explorer police interceptor units. And I'm like, so I took a picture and the video of the lights and everything, and I joined the group and posted it on there, and everybody liked it. And I said, I'm still looking at changing the strobes on it, you know, the deck strobes and the grill strobes and the side view mirror strobes. I'm changing them all to ambers. I found a place, and they're like $35 a piece, so might change those out first, and then the overhead's going to be a little bit more pricey. That's $1,200 to get that that changed out. Got to figure out how I'm going to cover that cost. Once I do that, then she'll be all amber white.
So is this like a, is there like a phenomena, or how do you say it? Is there like a trend that people are just doing this with interceptors? Like, how did you, other than you found it somewhere, did, you know how people, like, they trick out their, like, the Land Rovers and stuff? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, some of them have custom rims on them or wheels and blacked out. Others got different colored lights on them, you know. And it's just, you know, and of course, you know, the form. Hey, I'm looking for this or I'm looking for that. Anybody got any idea? Everybody helps everybody. Just a bunch of people who have the old police interceptors. Who knows? Maybe there's going to be a car show or something. Yeah. And then off the back window from the company that, you know, from the person I bought it from. And then wash her all up, clean her up. Maybe do a car show with her and sit there and flip all the lights on.
Yeah, you got to get one of those Doppler systems, too, so you can, like, do fox hunting. Just, like, mount it up there.
That would be neat.
The little mini on. He's a little with that. So he has Starlink at his house, so he gets the mini for, like, a little bit extra. I think he said it was, like, $5 a month or something like that. But it's, like, the backup plan where you only get 100 megabytes a month. And gigabyte.
Yeah, I just upgraded my fiber from 1 gig to 2 gigs. So instead of being 5 up, 5 down, now I got 1 up, 1 down. And now that was an extra $20. You know, plus I got the so I paid like $100 total a month for internet, because not only do I have the fiber, but I also have a backup, you know, a cellular backup system on it, and I got their mesh network. So that makes it, you know, that wasn't that much. It was like $30 altogether for all that stuff. So I don't mind that. That's okay.
Yeah, the fiber for, it's interesting. For me, the condo or the housing association, whatever you want to call it, they include the internet with your HOA fee for, like, they have a 5-year contract for it. So you get it whether, if you choose not to go with them, it'll be kind of dumb, right? So, but I'm like the first line in the subdivision. So chances of it going out for me are probably slimmer than, like, say somebody in the back of the subdivision that, you know, the wire got cut. I had T-Mobile for a while. I had the T-Mobile cellular internet. But I'm thinking if I ever go back up, get a backup plan again, I'm probably going to go with the mini dish from Starlink, just because it's they had some deal going on. It was like $179 for the dish, and then you got, you know, you can pay for the backup plan or whatever, and you can actually pause your subscription too, I guess, until you need it, which I thought was kind of cool. I didn't look into that
the details for that, though, but I feel like if your main internet goes down, your, what do you call it? Your cellular might be going down, too, because everybody's going to be pegging the cellular, so you might as well just do the satellite at that point.
Well, that all depends. I mean, the cellular's slower, but it's, you know, I'm fine with it. At least I still get backup. And my fiber, I'm literally three houses from the bridge. So, and I'm like one of the top five. So I'm actually the third subscriber to the new fiber in our area. So as soon as I saw about it, I inquired it. She goes, you know, you're the third person that we're installing this for. And I'm like, cool. So, and I like it. I like it a lot. And I said, for the cell backup and the whole home or, yeah, whole home mesh or whatever it is, you know, it's pretty basic for me. You know, and then I got a UPS I'm going to put on it anyway, so. And if I lose internet, you know, both ways, you know, the primary and the backup, I got hooks that I can hook up and have a Wi-Fi router attached to it. So I'm not worrying about it too much. KCKJ.
Yeah, I mean, we all grew up before there was internet, so we know what to do to with our time if we had to. we find creative things. It'll probably, you know, if the internet's down, there's probably something else going on, right? So you're going to be distracted with that anyway. So that's the way I kind of figure. But it's always cool to have backups and say, look, I got my backup working. But, yeah. So, but, yeah, until I'm employed again, I'm not looking at any backup stuff. So, but I watch what all other folks are doing, and it's kind of neat what they got set up on their systems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Dakota. He's got, like, backup for a backup, you know. My neighbor just has Xfinity, and that's about it. But if it goes on, I mean, we all have a way to get it, you know, get it through the air.
Yep, and we all are doing radio, so we know what to do when that, you know, for communications if we had to, so. But it's fun to play with technology, play with all the things. Know what's in your tool chest or whatever. So, but anyways, I have time for one more round, so I'll give it to you to close us out, and I'll say 73 because I'm almost to the driveway. After you, KFAS.
Yeah, my neighbor, he hardly watches TV, only at night. He's working on a car, so. If I get bored, I'll just go next door and help him work on the car or something. But, yeah, like you, I got projects. You know, radio's coming out my ears. All right, have a good one, Dave. We'll talk to you tomorrow sometime. 73, KC, KGO.
D-I-C.
How's it going out there, Jack? I haven't heard your voice for a while. KC, KGO.
Evening, Tom. How you doing? I know you haven't heard me in a while. I'm studying to get my journal. I can't wait to get it. It really, that pissed me off. The 10 meter, it was down for 2.5 weeks. I couldn't get nothing. I just turned it on about an hour and a half ago. There was one guy out of Mexico, and he was speaking Mexican.
Well, there you go. You say, no habla español, Andres only.
That's all I know. Gracias, gracias.
Yeah, I know a little bit more than that, but not a lot more. Because my younger sister is actually married to an Ecuadorian, so her two daughters are half Latino, and they speak it a little bit better than she does, but she knows it.
Good, she knows it. I don't know Mexican, but I know all the Arabic I speak, I write, I read, and English, write and read and speak. That's all I know.
Oh, so you're fluent in Arabic then?
I born in Baghdad. You want to know that. I born there. I came to the United States. I was 16 years old.
I did not know that. Well, that's cool. All my cousins speak fluent French because they're all Canadian. And me, I'm just a U.S.-born Canuck, and I can't speak a lick of French. I know a little, like a teeny, 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 tiny bit.
See what you're saying? Yeah, I was back in Baghdad when Saddam was in power. I was with the army for 3 years. It went through hell, but I ain't going to say it on the radio anyhow.
Oh, so you're a fighter pilot.
We're doing two jobs instead of one. Watching over the... I was with the Marines, by the way. Not the Army. Then the Army got me and said, okay, let's go there. I said, okay, no problem. We'll go wherever you guys want to go. But you know what? The Marines, it was the first one. And that was very hard.
Yeah, I heard the Marines are really hard. You know, but hey, you made it through it. You're here.
Yeah, you're right. I'm here at least. Thank God I'm here anyhow. Otherwise, really, it was a mess over there, and I'm not going to say too much anyhow. How am I sounding, by the way?
Sound good. 5'9", nice and clear. No parking. Totally understandable. So, yeah, you sound good. Are you on that DM32?
Well, I'm on TYT 9600. It's a base station.
Yeah, I like that TYT 9600. I got one at an estate sale, and my coworker uses it for GMRS. And that's how we talk back and forth when we travel all over the place.
Also, you know, all these, the frequencies I got all on the medium, not even on the high. I never used the high on this radio. I like it. I really do. But I need somebody to put more frequencies into it. And the gentleman I know, he's a little bit ill right now.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec DRC. I do have quite a large code plug if you want to put that on there.
Well, there you go, Jack. Aaron's got a code plug. There might even be one on the Macomb ARPSC website, I think, for the 9600. It's pretty well built. But there's one for you. Darren's probably got his all decked out.
Saying, might have to find out. Is that the, what's that, DM 77? Is that the program?
For mine, I use the OpenGD 77 program, yes. I think that's what you're asking about.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. I have not tried that one because I've been busy outside, inside, clean up a little bit and do all that work. And I was really busy, that's why. But now I know, so I got to go on the 77, right?
Yeah, the OpenGD 77 is a lot more user-friendly and works pretty good. I got it on my 9600. I got it on my 1701. Have it on my Retevis RT3S and my QIT MDUV 380. So I got the same code plug for all of them. Yeah, it's pretty robust. I like it.
Question is, do you go on the TYT 9600 on the site to get that GD 77?
Yeah, you have to upgrade the firmware in your radio and convert it over to OpenGD 77 from the TYT code plug and their firmware. It takes a little bit, but once you get it in there, then it's just easy as pie. And all the radios that are compatible with it, man, you just like throw it in there and dumb with it. You don't got to make any changes. Everything is the same.
That's pretty easy. You go on their website, the TYT, and search for 97, see if you can find the GD 77. Good enough. Well, thank you guys out there. I really appreciate it. I can't do it now. I'm still busy right now, but maybe could be tomorrow. All right, Tom. Good talking to you and good to hear you out there. I'll be out there more often. I'm just sitting to try and get my general because I'm getting tired of that 10-meter. There's nothing going on for the past 2.5 weeks.
Well, you keep plugging at it. You'll have it before I have mine. You know, I haven't really had time to do it myself, so got other projects on the burners. All right, Jack, 73 to you. Let you go if you can kick back and relax there after a busy day. And Darren, same with you. I'll talk to you guys both later. I'm almost home. 73 to all from TCKJO.
Take care. KFADRC.
Take care, y'all. Kilo Fox Trotty, Echo Tango, Quebec.